A reading from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 8 and 11 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month will stand at the head of your calendar. You will reckon it with the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every family must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a household is too small for a lamb, it, along with its nearest neighbor, will procure one and apportion the lamb's cost in proportion to the number of persons, according to what each household consumes. Your lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You will keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then with the whole community of Israel assembled, it will be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They will take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts of the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They will consume it with its meat that same night, eating it roasted with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it. With your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and with your staff in hand, you will eat it in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn in the land, human being and beast alike, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I the Lord. But for you the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood I will pass over you. Thereby, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day will be a day of remembrance for you, which your future generations will celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord. You will celebrate it as a statute forever." And John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from the world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it round his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever is bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on, he reclined at the table again and said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should do also." Every group needs its ritual, or the message is lost and the group is lost. As you would expect, we have three momentous readings for this day, and they are all in ritual settings. The older religions all understood the importance and power of group rituals. Without them, there is no memory, no recreation of the founding myth for each new generation, no group cohesiveness, and no transformation of persons at the deeper levels of consciousness and unconsciousness. Because the message can be hardly missed in the gospel, Jesus explicitly as clearly, "As I have done, you also must do," and then in several more repetitions, John 13, verses 13 to 20. But I'm going to primarily talk about the first reading from Exodus. Here Christians might be the most ignorant. The central Passover ritual defined this people. This shall be a memorial feast for you, which all generations shall celebrate in Yahweh's honor as a perpetual institution. Exodus 12:14. I will only unpackage the central part of the ritual, but I think your Christian imagination will take it from there. Note that it says on the 10th day of the month, April, they are to procure a small year-old lamb for each household. They are to keep it for 4 days, just enough time for the children to bond with it and for all to see its loveliness, and then slaughter it during the evening twilight. Then they are to take its blood and sprinkle it on the doorpost of the houses. That night, they are to eat it in highly ritualized fashion, recalling their departure from Egypt and their protection by God along the way. Thank God the Jews eventually stopped animal sacrifice, but it was meant to be a psychic shock for all, as killing always is. You can see, however, that the human psyche is slowly evolving in history to identify the real problem and what it is that actually has to die. A cultural anthropologist could explain what is happening here. The sacrificial instinct is the deep recognition that something always has to die for something bigger to be born. We started with human sacrifice, Abraham and Isaac. We moved here to animal, and we gradually get closer to what really has to be sacrificed, our own beloved ego, as protected and beloved as a little household lamb. We will all find endless disguises and excuses to avoid letting go of what really needs to die for our own spiritual growth. It is not other humans, firstborn sons of Egyptians, animals, lambs or goats, or even meat on Friday that God wants or needs. It is always our beloved passing self that has to be let go of. Jesus surely had a dozen good reasons why he should not have to die so young, so unsuccessful at that point, and the Son of God besides. By becoming the symbolic Passover lamb himself, plus the foot-washing servant in this evening's gospel, Jesus makes the movement to the human and personal very clear and quite contrite. It is always we, in our youth, in our beauty, in our power and overprotectiveness, that we must be handed over. Otherwise, we will never grow up big enough to eat of the mystery of God and love. It really is about passing over to the next level of faith and life. And that never happens without some kind of dying to the previous levels. This is an honest day of very good ritual that gathers all the absolutely essential but often avoided messages, necessary suffering, real sharing, divine intimacy, and loving servanthood. And from today's readings, Exodus 12:11. This is how you are to eat, with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are going somewhere. This is the Passover of the Lord. And John 13. Jesus had loved his own in this world and now wanted to show his love to them unto the end. He took off his cloak, picked up a towel, poured water into a basin, and began to wash their feet. And our starter prayer for this day. On this holy night of prayer, I would like to spend 1 hour with you so you can teach me how I am to let go and how I am to live. Let me see your loveliness in bread and wine and song and even in the servant's towel. So may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.